My beloved spoke and said to me, "Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away." So you can see that this husband or this bridegroom is calling to the wife, to the bride, and saying, "Rise up, come away with me." And this is, like I said, a prophetic passage of the Lord speaking to the church. Rise up. Rise up, come away with me. What does that mean? You know, if the Lord wants to bring you into a new season, if the Lord wants to do a new work in your life, He's got to call us to rise up. Do you remember that? He said that to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. Rise up, go into the promised land. Rise up. When the Lord is calling you out of one place and into another, out of one season and into another, when the Lord wants to bring breakthrough in your life, when He wants to shift something in your life, you can't stay the same. You can't keep doing the same things. You've ever heard people say, if you want the same results, keep doing the same thing. But if you want different results, you've got to do different things. You've got to make some changes. You've got to make some adjustments in your life. And that's what the Lord means when He says, rise up. He's saying, hey, it's time to get up. It's time to shake some things off. It's time to break out of some areas of complacency. Maybe some areas where you're doing the same thing kind of every day. And that can happen kind of easily when you're tired, right? When you're working a certain job and you're doing things and it's week after week and day after day. And sometimes we can get into a rut and we can, oh man, I know things need to change. But the Lord comes to us. Listen to how the Lord comes to us and says, rise up. Come away with me. And so what's going on here in this passage is the Lord wants to bring us into a new season. You hear it right here where He says this. He says, lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth and the time of singing has come. He's talking about a transition from winter to spring. See, we all know that around here, right? We had a mild winter, but my goodness, there was nothing on the trees, right? Every tree was just... looked like it was dead, you know, it was kind of gloomy. There wasn't enough, you know, sun out. Sometimes, you know, you need more vitamin D and all that. And it seems like in wintertime, it seems like things are just dead or barren, nothing's happening. But those of us who, you know, those of us who have been around and you know what winter does, the roots go deeper, doesn't it? Things are happening in the soil. Things are happening for trees. It's actually really important, isn't it? Things are cultivated in winter that are not cultivated in spring. Things are being prepared. Even though everything's lying dormant, even though it seems like it's dead, even though it doesn't seem like things are happening, something's happening. And this is what we talked about last week. That between you and your promised land is a wilderness. See, between you and that springtime is wintertime. And there's a time of testing and refining and preparation that the Lord wants to do some things in our life. And this is what we've been talking about the last number of weeks, that the Lord is preparing us for victory and breakthrough. The Lord has been speaking to us not only about getting us out of debt and into a place of abundance financially, but more than financially. I believe the Lord wants to bring breakthrough in our relationships, breakthrough in areas of our relationship with God, of areas of our relationship with other people. Maybe things that you've been praying for, the Lord wants to answer those things and bring breakthrough. But like we've been saying, it's not just that the Lord wants to get us out of debt or get us into a place of breakthrough. He's got to work the victory on the inside of us first. And this is why we've been talking about the yoke of debt, breaking off certain things on the inside of us. In terms of the yoke of debt, we've talked about breaking off the yoke of mammon, the yoke of lust, the yoke of complacency, the yoke of unbelief. These are things on the inside of us that God wants to set us free from, so that we can walk in genuine freedom. Amen? So this is what the Lord has been doing in us. He's been preparing our hearts. He's been breaking things on the inside of us, because victory always begins on the inside. The breakthrough always begins on the inside. And yet I believe the Lord is saying something today from this passage. He's saying the winter is over. The winter is over. That time where things seem dormant and things haven't been happening and you've been waiting and you've been struggling and you've been wondering, hey, how come that prayer hasn't been answered? Why is that breakthrough not happening? The Lord's saying, no, that's over. And the Lord's saying, it's time to move into a new season. It's not that we're not going to go through tests. It's not to say that we don't run into some obstacles here as believers, but the Lord is saying, no, there's something that I'm doing in this church in St. Louis. There's something that I want to do in this city. There's something that I want to do in your life. But notice what the Lord is saying. See, the season is changing. I want to bring you into a place. What's springtime? A time of fruitfulness. A time when things begin to produce. I remember a couple months ago, 1 week everything was brown, and the next week things were like kind of starting to bud, and the next week it was like bursting with color, you know? You got the yellow trees over there, white trees over here, and then all of a sudden then everything turned green. I mean, it just seemed to happen so fast, like if you weren't paying attention, it would happen and you didn't even notice it. I happened to notice it because I was so amazed and desperate for, you know, some color, you know? I mean, shoot, you know, a couple months ago, you're driving down the freeway or something, and you can see, like, from a really long time because you see just through all the branches, there's no leaves. And now it looks like, man, somebody need to do some gardening. You know what I'm saying? Right? All the trees are, like, overgrown with leaves. It looks like it's been a forest forever. It's just crazy how the change happens. And that's what the Lord is doing in our lives. See, sometimes it seems like God is not doing anything. It seems like he's silent. It seems like he's quiet. But no, he's working in you. He's building your faith. He's breaking strongholds and yokes in your heart. He's testing and refining you in that wilderness or in that winter. But then now he comes to us and he says, rise up. Come away with me. It's springtime. It's time to step into that new season. It's time to step into the plan and the purpose and the calling that I have for you. It's time. But notice what he's saying. Rise up. Rise up. You know, the same thing in Joshua chapter 1. Joshua had been in the wilderness for 40 years. The Israelites had been waiting for God to give them the green light. Well, they could have just stayed there. They could have just hung out on the other side of the Jordan and just been comfortable. Could have just been okay with the status quo. Like, hey, we're doing just fine. We got manna. We got this. And yet they would have missed out on the blessing and the promise that God had for them. So what did God need to say to Joshua? Rise up. Rise up. It's time to make some changes. If you're going to get into your promised land, you can't live the same as you have been in the wilderness. There's going to be some changes that need to be made. So here's what he's saying. Rise up. And then he says this. He says, rise up, my love, my fair one. Come away. Come away with me, he says. Come away. This is always the Lord's invitation into relationship with God, into an intimate friendship with God. Why? Because the Lord, everything that he wants to do in our lives, is always going to be through relationship with God. It's never going to be you doing something on your own. God wants to partner with us. And he wants to bring blessing to our life, but I'll tell you what God wants more than anything else. He just wants relationship with us. He has everything. He owns everything, and yet he made you. He owns everything. He created everything, but he shed his blood for you. See, so he's a good God. He's a good dad. He wants to bless us. He wants to invite us to be a part of his plan on the earth to bring people to him. But more than anything, what does he want? He wants that relationship. So he says this, he says, rise up, come away. Winter is past, spring is here. And notice what he says there in verse 12. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come. The time of singing has come. See, when the Lord wants to lead you into breakthrough, he says, listen, I want you to rise up. And he says, listen, it's time to sing. It's time to sing. Listen to this. Listen to the way, listen to this other prophetic word. It's very, very similar. But in Isaiah 54, verse 1, is another prophetic word. Listen to what the Lord says. Sing, O barren, you who have not borne. Break forth into singing and cry aloud. You who have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. You hear what the Lord's saying? Sing, O barren. The Lord, it's a prophetic word, not just to women who have not had children. this prophetic word is to people. Because this prophetic word, again, it was a picture of speaking to a woman who would not have children. But it's speaking this prophetic word. The Lord is speaking to people who have struggled to see fruitfulness in their life. Who have struggled to see that breakthrough. Who are in a place of waiting. Who are saying, where's the breakthrough? I'm praying, I'm asking the Lord, but where is it? And the Lord is saying, sing, sing. And I believe that's what the Lord is saying to you. I believe that's what the Lord is saying to me personally. I believe that's what the Lord is calling our church to this summer. The Lord is saying, now is the time to begin to lift up your voice and to sing your way to victory. Why? Why does the Lord say that? Why does the Lord say that? Because He knows that the victory has to come on the inside first. See, so often, we as people, we want to wait till we see the answer to prayer to say thank you. We want to wait till we see God show up to get happy. We tend to be people that we will not rejoice until the breakthrough comes. But that's not how faith works. Faith praises God before you see the answer. Faith rejoices before the breakthrough comes. That's how faith works. Think about it. God's not going to give you a word, give you a promise, and tell you something that's already happened. Why would you need to know something that's already happened? God's not going to give you a word and tell you something that you already know. That's not how the word works. When God speaks, He speaks a word that confronts your present and will lead you into your future, the future that God has for you. The Word of God always confronts and contradicts what's going on right now in your circumstances. The Word does not come to simply keep you where you're at, but to move you into the next season. And so do you see what's going on here? Same thing in Song of Songs, chapter 2. The winter is past. Spring has come. It's time to start singing. What's God saying? I'm going to bring you into a new season. I'm going to release breakthrough in your life. And it's time to start singing. Now. Same thing. Sing, O barren. Do you see that? Sing, O barren. Why? Why did God tell this woman to sing? Sing, O barren. Break forth into singing and cry aloud. You who have not labored. Why does He say that? For more the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman. Do you see what the Lord's saying? You might feel barren. Your present circumstance might mean that you're barren. There's not fruit. You haven't seen the breakthrough. You haven't seen the answer to prayer yet. But the Lord's saying, but I'm going to do it. So sing now. Let me go at another angle. What, God doesn't need to come to the rich and tell the rich they're rich. He doesn't need to come to the healed and tell the healed that they're healed. Why would God need to say that to those people that already have what they need, that already have entered into some of those breakthroughs? No, the word comes to the poor to tell the poor, you're rich. The word comes to the sick to tell the sick, you're healed. Do you see what I'm saying? So the word comes to the barren to say, you're not going to be barren anymore. The word comes to the person in the wilderness to say, oh, I'm bringing you into the promised land. The word comes to that person who's still in Egypt to say, I'm getting you out and I'm getting you in to the plan of God for your life. The word comes to those people who are in winter where everything seems like it's barren and God says, oh, but spring is coming. And do you see what our response is? Lift up your voice. Begin to sing to the Lord. Begin to worship Him. Begin to praise Him now before you see the breakthrough, before you enter the promised land, before the flowers start blooming, you start singing to the Lord. Why? Because that's what faith does. Faith believes what God says. Faith takes God's word, takes God at His word, and faith responds to God, and faith begins to praise God before you see the results. Sing, O barren. I believe the Lord is telling us, sing your way to victory. This is what the Lord told me a couple of months ago. I think I shared it with you. I said, the Lord told me the pathway to victory is the pathway of praise. That's what he told me. He said, David, what he was telling me is you need to get into a place in your life where you're praising me at another level, where you're rejoicing in me. He's saying, David, your victory in this season is going to be through praise. And I believe the Lord, as I was praying this week, and I was listening to Pastor Kimberly. Pastor Kimberly is our co-pastor of the whole Rock. She's the wife and the co-pastor with Pastor Jerry Dierman. And some of you know who I'm talking about. And she was sharing this passage, and I heard her saying some of these things, and I knew it in my spirit. I knew the Holy Spirit said, that's for you. And he said, you need to talk about that on Sunday. I wasn't necessarily planning on it. And the Lord said, no, that's where I'm taking you guys. In fact, a couple weeks ago, it was last week, a friend of mine was here with us, Tom, and he gave me a word. He said from Philippians 4, do you remember in Philippians 4, verse 4, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice, right? Again, I say rejoice. It's a kind of an interesting verse. Rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Why you got to say it two times? Because I didn't get it the first time, right? And that's what Tom shared that with me. Tom said, you know, David, he said, I believe the Lord has given you this verse today. And I said, oh, thank you. I received that. And he said, Tom told me, because he's a good friend of mine, he said, hey, I don't think the Lord's trying to correct you. And I said, I think he is. I think the Lord's telling us, hey, rejoice. And then the Lord's saying, hey, didn't I tell you to rejoice? Come on. It's not that I'm not praising the Lord or spending time with the Lord, but the Lord's saying, listen, you've got to begin to praise me like that victory's already come. You got to begin to sing like the breakthrough's already come. See? So when the Lord gives you a word, when the Lord says, oh, hey, I'm getting you out of debt, you begin to sing like, whoo, I'm going to get out of debt. See? Because God said it, not because your circumstances say it, not because you feel like it, not even because you know the answer. You're saying, I don't know how that's going to work. That's not your problem. You need to begin to worship the Lord and praise him and say, thank you, Lord, that you promised me that you will do it. And then you, of course, there's other things we need to do, like ask God, hey, God, what do you want me to do? We begin to ask the Lord. The Lord gives us wisdom and direction. That's all good. But right here, the Lord is saying, you know what I want you to do? I want you to rejoice. I remember years ago when I was a young Christian struggling with depression and things like that, struggling with insecurity. I mean, honestly, I was kind of crippled by some unhealthy ways of seeing myself. It kind of hindered me from connecting with people. And it's not that you wouldn't have thought I was a nice person or a friendly person, but I mean, I just kind of struggled to really trust people, and I struggled with those crippling emotions, emotions that would keep me from really flourishing in relationships or flourishing even in ministry. Just as a young Christian, just kind of struggling, working through some of these things with the Lord. And I just remembered I would just listen to the word. I'd get in the word, and I would just sing out to the Lord. I'd take the scriptures, take the Psalms, and I'd just begin to praise God. Back then, we had tapes and CDs. You guys know what cassette tapes are and CDs? No, I'm messing. And I just put in a CD or I'd put in a tape. I just begin to sing to the Lord. Nowadays, sometimes I'll just sing my own song to God. Sometimes I'll just lift up my voice, begin to sing to the Lord and just praise him. Make up my own song. Sometimes I do that, but sometimes I'm not there. Sometimes in the morning, I'm not ready. I got to get going. I need to rejoice in the Lord. And so what I'll do, I'll put on like YouTube worship or Pandora or whatever, right? There's even churches out there that live stream their worship or record it. Even The Rock in Anaheim, our church, they record their worship and you can play that. I know a number of other churches, they'll live stream their worship. So I'll just put anything on and just begin to bless the Lord, begin to worship the Lord and to sing to the Lord. You know, whatever it takes, if you will, to get me out of that place where I'm getting focused on myself, huh? Listen, anxiety, worry, fear, shame, you know what it'll do? It'll steal your voice. You know what I'm talking about? Anyone else struggle with that at times? You get into that place where you're stressed out, and all of a sudden you think, man, I'm not singing to the Lord. I'm not lifting up my voice. See, shame will rob you of your voice. And that's what the enemy wants, by the way. That's what the enemy wants. The devil wants to discourage you and lie to you, and he wants to rob you of your voice. The last thing the devil wants is for you to lift up your voice and begin to sing to God and to praise God. The last thing the devil wants you to do is actually to take the Bible at God's word and begin to bless God and thank God for the word. Last thing the devil wants you to do is lift up your voice and cry out to God and say, Father, I'm praying for your help in the name of Jesus. Why? Because the moment you begin to do that, what's going to happen? Breakthrough. So the devil is going to try to bury you under anxiety, worry, fear. He's going to try to discourage you and get you down and rob you of your voice so you won't sing. And you hear what the Lord's saying? Rise up. Come away with me. It's time to sing. Winter's done. Spring has come. You're not barren anymore. There's going to be breakthrough. There's going to be fruitfulness. You're not going to stay stuck. I'm getting you out of debt, getting you out of Egypt, get you in the promised land. You hear what the Lord's saying? He's speaking to those who are sick. He said, no, you're not sick anymore. The Bible says, by his stripes you are healed. And you begin to sing that to the Lord. Begin to sing out God's promises over your life. Begin to sing out how good God is over your life. Listen to Psalm 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be on my mouth. You hear what he said? This is King David. This is King David who went through a wilderness. Why is it that David made it through that wilderness, became king, became successful? Fulfilled the plan of God for his life. I'll tell you why. He sang his way to victory. I mean, he was faithful. He walked in integrity. But here's a man of God who was a warrior. He was a king. He was a leader, father, husband. But what did he do? He got his heart into alignment with God. And he says this, I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. And his praise will continually be in my mouth. Do you notice what he doesn't say? He doesn't say, I'm going to think about it. I'm gonna think quietly about it. Now, it's not wrong to think quietly about God or to silently meditate. Nothing wrong with that. But you notice what David's saying? No, no, your praise is going to be in my mouth. In my mouth. My mouth, right? He doesn't say, and I'm going to let that really cool worship leader in on the Joy FM, I'm going to let him praise you. I'm going to play the Pandora all day and let someone else praise you. No, he says, your praise will be in my mouth. Praise the Lord for great musicians and such that help us, like Jen leading us into worship. But the point is not that she sings to the Lord. The point is that I sing to the Lord. The victory comes when I open my mouth and I bless the Lord. Amen? Can somebody say amen? Just like it says here in Proverbs 15:23, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth. His mouth. You want to see joy released in your life? You want to rejoice in the Lord? You lift up your voice, you begin to sing to the Lord. It doesn't have to sound pretty. It doesn't have to sound good. You just begin to sing to the Lord and begin to bless him out of your own mouth. And I love what David's saying. At all times. I will bless the Lord at all times. You know he's got to be thinking, like right now, David's in a cave getting chased by Saul. David's going through a lot of stuff in his life. What are you going through? Does all times cover what you're going through? You might be going through some good times. You might have seen some blessing and some breakthrough. But maybe you're saying, no, you don't know what I'm going through. I don't know what you're going through. But does all times cover what you're going through? I think it does. And that's what David's saying. David's saying, hey, Lord, I'm going to bless you at all times. In a good day and a bad day. When I've been waiting for a long time. When I've seen the answer to my prayer. In the wilderness. In the battle. In the promised land. I'm going to bless you at all times. Not just when it's good. Not just when I feel like it. See, sometimes I don't feel like it. Maybe I'm tired. Maybe I'm kind of talking to God. But I don't want to get up and rejoice. And I have to remind myself, but he's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy of my praise. But I also have to remind myself, to sing my way to victory. See, the Lord has made promises to us. And we need to grab hold of those promises on the inside of us and begin to sing to the Lord and get victory on the inside. I see it kind of like this. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of Israel. So as we begin to praise the Lord, His glory comes. And I just see it like in some of the battles of the Old Testament, where as we sing to the Lord and His presence comes, His glory comes. His glory is the thing that releases the breakthrough in our lives. It's God going before us. You remember that with Jehoshaphat? Jehoshaphat was a king, and he was facing an army that was way bigger than him, had way more military power and weaponry and all those things. And there's no way that Jehoshaphat, with his little army, with his untrained farmers, could fight this army. And they cried out to God, and the Lord spoke through the prophet and said, no, I'm going to go before him. I'm going to give you victory. So guess what they did? They put the worshipers out in front. I mean, that's either dumb or that's faith, right? I mean, it's either smart faith or just dumb. And they put the worshipers out in front, and they began to march towards the battle, singing to the Lord, you are good and your love endures forever. They were just praising God. No, God, you're on our side. You're faithful. You're good. You're going to come through for us. And the Bible says that God went before them and gave them the victory. What happened before the walls of Jericho fell down? They marched around in silence, but do you remember what they did? On the seventh day, they shouted and they blew trumpets. Come on, those were thick walls, so big that people could live inside those walls. Those walls were so thick, the Bible says that that they were all shut up, and God comes to, the whole city was shut up, the gates and the walls and everything shut up, and it says that God comes to Joshua, and God said to Joshua, I have given you the city. I like that. Everything shut up. Doesn't look like there's going to be breakthrough. Doesn't look like those walls are coming down. Doesn't look like we're going to be able to do anything. We're going to be throwing some rocks and some sticks at that wall for a really long time. And God says, no, I've given you the city. I've given you the city. I want you to march around it quietly for 7 days. And then on the last day, you march around it 7 times, and then you're going to blow those trumpets, and you're going to shout, and those walls are going to come down. Remember in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas, they got thrown in prison for doing what? For doing good. For preaching the gospel, loving people. They're not bothering anybody. And some people cause some ruckus, and they throw Paul and Silas in prison. They whipped them. They put chains on them. So now the Bible says at midnight, they're cold, they're hungry, they're uncomfortable. And it says at midnight, they were singing, praising God. At midnight. You know what I think? They thought, this is a good time to praise God. I will bless the Lord at all times. Even when somebody did me wrong. Even when it's not fair. Even when it's not right. Even when it seems like, hey, I'm serving God and I'm going backwards. And they said, I'm going to praise God right now. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to praise God. He's still worthy of my praise. I'm going to praise God because I'm going to serve the Lord even in the hard times. And so we're going to praise the Lord because we're still serving God. Even if somebody else coming against us, we're going to serve the Lord. See, what happened before the walls fell down? They praised. They sang. They shouted. What happened before Paul and Silas were set free? They were singing. If you guys know the story, Acts chapter 16, it says that there was an earthquake, and it says all the prison doors opened up and all the chains were loosed. That's not a normal earthquake. You get what I'm saying? Like, I lived in California for a long time. And we had some earthquakes. I mean, like, I was in some earthquakes. Like, I was surfing in some earthquakes, you know? I'm messing. But earthquakes don't loose people's chains. No, that was a supernatural thing. Before they were set free, what were they doing? Praising God. Before there was victory for Jehoshaphat, what were they doing? Praising God. Before the barren becomes fruitful, what does she do? She praises the Lord. Before you go from winter to spring, what do? You praise the Lord. You sing your way to victory. See? So what's going to happen before the debt's broken? What's going to happen before you see breakthrough in your workplace? What's going to happen before you find that freedom on the inside? What's going to happen before you have that prayer answered that you've been praying and you've been crying out to God and you're saying, God, I need you to come through. He hears the cry of your heart. But what's going to happen before the breakthrough comes? You're going to sing your way to victory. Can somebody say amen? Amen. You're going to sing your way to victory. I don't know what it is for you. I don't know what your walls are. I don't know what your battle is. I don't know what it is that your chains are. Maybe you feel like Paul and Silas. Maybe you feel like Joshua. Maybe you feel like that barren woman. I don't know what season you're in, but I believe the Lord is saying, no, the time of singing has come. Think about it this way. How are we going to see breakthrough in St. Louis? How are we going to see reconciliation in families, healing in people's lives, in their bodies, people delivered? How's that going to happen? You know how that's going to happen? It's going to happen first in the house of God. Right here in this church, as well as in any other churches where they're preaching the gospel. It's going to happen first with the people of God. It will. And how's it going to happen in our lives? As we begin to praise the Lord, the glory of God's going to come and His glory is going to bring breakthrough. People are going to come back to Jesus. Right? People are going to put their trust in the Lord. People are going to experience breakthrough in their lives, healing, deliverance. Families are going to be restored. And God's glory will fill the church, but more than that, going to fill the city. See, I say we fill the city with the glory of God by filling the city with the praises of God. Amen? I believe the Lord wants to do something even this summer. Right here in this city, right here in us, in this church. And I believe the Lord is calling us, if you will, as a church, to that, to another place of worship, to another place of rejoicing in the Lord and giving Him glory. Not just here on a Sunday morning. Sunday morning is a good time. It's a corporate time. I need it. I love coming together and singing with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I love it. I love hearing the word, but I love that time of corporate worship to the Lord. But it shouldn't just be happening here. All day, or if you will, every day, maybe in the morning or the evening or throughout your day, just lifting up your voice while you're driving in the car. You know, nobody knows that you're talking to Jesus in the car. They think probably you got the Bluetooth headset on. You know, nowadays you can like talk to your car, you know? So it doesn't matter. Don't you, you know, so you're driving your car. They'll think I'm crazy. No, just pray. Talk to God. Sing out to the Lord. They don't know you're crazy. No, I'm crazy for Jesus. We just need to do it, don't we? When we come here on a Sunday, it shouldn't be the time where we start praising God. This should be the time where we, now I've been singing to the Lord and now we all come together. Can you imagine that? We as a church, individually, we say, Lord, I'm gonna rejoice in you. I'm gonna sing my way to victory. And then corporately we come together and we begin to praise the Lord and sing not only over our own lives, but sing over this city and allow God's glory to break in. I believe if we take His word and begin to just praise Him and say, Lord, we believe you. And we're going to start celebrating and rejoicing and exalting and glorifying you before we see the breakthrough. I believe things are going to unlock. The Lord's glory is going to come and He's going to release breakthrough. Answers to prayer. Blessing from the Lord. Well, I think we should do it, huh? Hey, let's stand up. Stand up. Let's sing to the Lord.